Good morning. You can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We are talking about errors in the church, and we've gone through various errors. Today, we're going to talk about the error of reversed roles. We're going to go through 1 Corinthians chapter... Sorry, Melvin. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1. We'll read through 16 here. Here we go. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances, as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power over her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Brother Russell, could you pray for us this morning?
Father, we thank you again for another day that you've given and blessed us. Thank you for your goodness to us, your grace to us.
Yes, Lord.
Your kindness, your strength, you provide, both physical and spiritual, and your guidance through your word. We pray that we would be attentive, Lord, and our minds and hearts would be open to your word as taught and preached. Be with the teachers and preachers, with the music and the hymns that are sung for your praise and honor and glory, and for the prayers that are prayed, that it would all be glorifying and honoring to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
You are so worthy of all of it. We give you all the honor and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is worthy. Now, this chapter, you know, I'm usually a very pointed... I have points and I follow those points. I don't go off on rabbit trails hardly ever. I'm very focused. But this one just seems like anything you talk about seems like you have to go out and talk, you know, and explain it and explain, and there's like a lot of explaining to do anywhere you go and talk about anything in this passage. So I don't know how I'm going to do it, but we're going to go. I don't think 40 minutes is enough to be able to teach this adequately. It's a real, not difficult one, I think, to understand his overall point, because I think he makes his point very clear. But anything you talk about here does have a lot of explanation, and you can dive deep into it. But we're gonna go through it and see what it's talking about. But I want to focus again on the error that the churches can make and have made, and the ones Paul's focusing on, and how to fix those errors. So that's what we're looking at. And I call this the error of reversed roles, because apparently God obviously has given a design and clear roles for men and women to play. And it seems like people were not following those orders. They weren't following the order that God gave. And Paul wasn't too happy with it. He says, this should be done. So that's what we're going to talk about today. He's made some very clear things. And that first point is that there is a God-designed order. Okay, that's a very clear point. There's no denying it. Paul says it. I just want to go through this passage right here is not giving us a law about head coverings, right? We don't go to this passage and say, hey, there's a law about head coverings. Men, you can't wear certain head coverings, and women, you always have to wear certain head coverings. That's not what Paul's talking about, right? These are symbols that they used at this time that Paul recognizes that they did represent. They were in line with the symbolism of what God had ordered. And so he uses these symbols to be able to represent his point. It's a cultural symbol that they had at that time. And we understand cultural symbols. I mean, we even have some. For example, anybody have a wedding ring on? If you see somebody with a wedding ring on, what do you know about that person? They're married. It's a symbol. It's a symbol that our culture understands. We understand it. Well, at that time, they had a head covering. And the head covering for a woman, when she was wearing it, represented that I am under the care and protection and authority of a man. This is what a head covering represented. And this could be a daughter, and if she had a head covering, it was represented that she was under the authority and care of her dad. And a woman that was married, it would be really signifying this towards her husband. And if she was not wearing that head covering, then it was a dishonor to the husband. It would be like you taking off your wedding ring to go flirt with somebody in the store. Right? That's not something that you're allowed to do. Then no, you don't do that. Well, taking off your head covering to be able to declare that you're free, you're independent, I am under nobody, and whenever you had whenever you were in a marriage, that would be wrong. No covering represented immodest appearance. It was also about modesty. It signified modesty. And it was, no covering would signify independence and rebellion. And remember, if you had your head uncovered, from what I understand, what I read, is that it was like, well, that's what the prostitutes would do, saying that they were available, you could look on them. It was like a call to attention to yourself. Right? I think if women are dressing in a way in our day where they are revealing a lot of their body, they're calling attention to themselves, they are wanting you to look at them. Right? And I don't think women should be doing that at all, but especially not a married woman. Okay? So, you know, hey, you might not like it, but I think this is very clear. Let's go down, right? Chase that rabbit. Okay, so then that's just the scenario that Paul has right here. Women removing their head covering is a kind of a sign of rejection, right? A rebellious rejecting the design that God has given. And if a man was using a head covering while he was in this public service at the church, then it was a rebellious a rejecting the sign of God's given authority that he put him under. And so either way you go, if the man was putting on a head covering and a woman was taking off her head covering, they were rejecting the design that God had given. And this was the error. When men were using it, this would create confusion. Men are supposed to reflect Christ's leadership. And if you abdicate your leadership, this is dishonoring to Christ. Roles do matter. Okay? The symbols might change, but the roles matter. We might not use head coverings today as our symbols, and that might have changed, and that's all fine. But the roles that God gave do not change, and it has not changed to this day. When people say, well, we're in a different age, we're progressed now, we know a lot more, we're closer to the kingdom, right? We're in God's kingdom. I mean, things have changed. It's different. No. The roles that God gave for us to play here in this earth are still alive today, the very same that Paul describes here. In fact, one of his arguments is he goes back to creation. Okay? And so, we need to remember that. So this is about the order that God gave. It's about order. It's not about oppression. If you read this and you think, oh man, women are just oppressed and Paul must really have had it out against women and look, you're not reading it right. You're not understanding the whole thing for sure. That, you know, there's a lot to talk about that. Listen, Paul was not against women and he did not oppress women. We read in chapters before, in chapter 7, that he actually said that the man doesn't have his own full authority over his own body, but the woman does. And so that's amazing that the woman had authority over the husband's body, right? And so again, he's not just against women. He's pointing out there is an order that God has established and we must follow that order. It's important. Yeah. It is important. It is important and it's necessary for the church. Men are to represent Christ as the visible head.
That's right.
This is an important point. It's an important distinction. Now, the truth is that if the modern church starts adopting the world's view on gender and authority, it will result in the reversal of roles. It's going to result in confusion of order and spiritual decline. This will happen in the church. And God calls for the church to restore God's design and headship in the church, so that it will result in the correct role that you should play. And remember, God is a God of order. And if the church doesn't follow that order, then it is not reflecting God correctly. So in the church, we must follow the order that God has designed us to follow, because that reflects the order that God is. And so we need to remember that. God's design for leadership, and God's design for leadership has always been orderly. And we see it here. He makes a pattern here. He says, basically, God, Christ, man, and woman, there's an order there. A clear order that's visible. It's a divine chain of accountability, right? And honor. Now, just to point out, this order doesn't diminish worth. Right? I mean, we all know that. And equality doesn't mean sameness, which is what we're trying to get in our day. Everybody's pushing for sameness. We have to be the same. But we don't, equality doesn't mean we have to be the same. We can still be equal even though we have different roles to play. We are not the same. And we don't have the same role to play. Okay, we are designed to follow this order that God gave, and this order does not diminish the worth of anybody in the order. Okay, just because Christ is of God, right? Is that what he says? He says, and the head of Christ is God. Christ is not diminished in any way. Christ is not in any way minimized in his value, right? It's not that way at all. It was just an order that was made, and so that's how it is. So we got to remember that. Especially, I know women might feel like this is something, some type of attack or diminishing of themselves, but it is not. It's not. It's not an undervalue in any way. Every part of God's design is for functionality. It's not about favoritism. It's not about, you know, it's about functionality. God loves order and making things work. And if you follow God's order, you will find that it works and it works really well. And if you don't follow God's order, there is chaos and it crumbles. Okay? It's just simply the way it is. And so be careful for the redefinitions of equality and meaning sameness. The church should not follow the world's lead. It should follow God's word when it comes to this.
Amen.
And so when men stop leading like they should, then women start taking the charge. This isn't progress. It is spiritual disorder. And that's just the truth. So, men do have a calling. Men do have a calling to lead. Men do have a calling to provide, to protect, and to teach. And this should be done in love. It should be done in sacrificial service. And women do have a calling to submit, nurture, and support, and be a big influence and help for that role that they've been given. Now, rebellion for a man will look a lot like passivity, avoidance, timidness, and worldliness. And rebellion in a woman will look defiant and competitive and aggressive and resistant. So, authority is a real and God-given role. Headship, that's what we're talking about. Headship. The head of every man is Christ. Man, you have a head. And that head of woman is the man. The head of Christ is God. I want to point out a few things real quick. And yeah, I might have to take two Sundays on this. But a husband is the head of his wife. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. The husband is the head of the wife. It's the role, it's the design that God has made it with. And so we, instead of fighting it, instead of spending our time trying to fight this point, let's just accept what God has said and taught and do it the best way we can. Elders are to rule well in the church. Church leaders are to look over the flock. They are over the flock. Fathers are to command their children. Oh man, you know, the reversal of roles has gotten so bad that it looks like children are guiding the houses instead of parents nowadays. And so really, we don't want this to be falling into the church. And obviously, this expands out to what's in the church and in our families. It matters. Leadership is not optional for men. It's commanded. Right. You are to be a leader. You have headship over your family and you have to take leadership. And if you don't, then it is a shame on you. Serving doesn't mean surrendering leadership. It means you wield it with humility and you don't have to be harsh, but you have to do it with humility. But it doesn't mean you give it up. In other words, sacrifice without leadership is abdication. Sacrifice without leadership. What I see a lot of, and you even think about it, you're thinking, well, I sacrifice myself in such a way that I allow her to lead. This isn't sacrificial leadership. This is you abdicating your leadership. You're giving it to somebody else. God has called you to lead and you need to lead. And so this is important to think about. Don't sacrifice your leadership. You need to lead sacrificially. I don't know if that makes sense. You don't have to sacrifice your leadership. You don't have to give it up. You don't have to say, well, okay, and we do it. You have to lead in a sacrificial way. But you still are the leader. You still are the head. You still hold the accountability. Listen, this is the order that God has made. And when it comes down to it, you are accountable and you are responsible. When man fell, God called on Adam. No matter what Eve had done, Adam was responsible. And he brought it upon the whole world. Sacrifice is bearing the weight of responsibility, not passing it off. So, just remember, we're supposed to represent Jesus on how Jesus was a leader, how he was the head. He is the head of the church. And so, men, you are the head. You have to represent Christ when you do it. So you have to do it like him. Have him as your role model. And God has put you in the role as a husband, as a father, even in church, of authority, of protection, of care, of spiritual oversight, and of accountability. Okay, so let's get into some of this. God's order must be honored. We read it. Let's read it again. chapter 11, verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Paul makes the order very clear. He is not ambiguous about it. He makes it clear. He makes the statement, and we must honor what it says. We must. This isn't again about value or function. It's about functionality and responsibility. You are called to lead like Christ. Now, men, be careful, because you can get in a way where you abuse this calling. You abuse your headship and you become dominating. You think it's all about yourself, or you neglect your responsibility. You neglect your wife. You neglect the position that you've been in, and you hurt other people. Of course, this can be abused. And I'm not saying that every man in history has done it right. No, of course not. In fact, that's the point, is God is calling you to do it the correct way. God wants you to be head and to be a leader and to be an authority in a good way that represents His headship. And so God calls you to do this in love and sacrificially.
Amen.
But if you take out responsibility, if you take out authority, if you take out headship there, then it's meaningless, right? The reason why there's so much focus about you as the head needing to love and needing to sacrifice yourself and needing to be selfless, the reason there's so much focus on that is because you know you have authority and you don't want to abuse it. You don't want to end up taking advantage of this headship. So God calls you to do it in a correct manner. And women are called to a different role. That's just how it is. Headship is a divine order. It's not just a cultural thing that we can get rid of because culture is different or changed or we're changing. It's rooted in creation. And so men casting off their role or women casting off their role is both a rebellion against God's order. Men are dishonoring Christ by abdicating leadership. And so that's the first one we focus on. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. You are dishonoring Christ if you are not taking up your leadership role as you should. And he also says it in 7, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. So he is. You have to be representing Christ in this. And so Paul does say that this is dishonoring to Christ, and we shouldn't do it. So this is what men need to do. Men need to take up leadership roles. Men, you need to actively recognize that God has put you in a position where you need to take this accountability and responsibility, because this is God's order. And it's very easy to shy away from that responsibility, especially now under the pressure that men have been put under. Men in our society are put under the pressure where you should not feel this way. Why are you the one that's supposed to be leading the household? We're the same. We're equal, aren't we? And so why do you think you have more authority or more headship or more leadership? Give it whatever name you want to call it. Why? Listen, this is something that makes men shy away from this responsibility. And women are pushing it. Again, this is society. This is a general comment. This is not every individual woman, but women individually in society have been pushing for men to not want to take up their responsibility. And what we find is that sooner or later, men are going to stop taking up their responsibility. And then there's going to be a complaint that men are not taking up their responsibility. Why are men acting like boys? They don't want to do anything. They don't want to take care of anything. They don't want to work. They want to be lazy. They want to play video games all day and do nothing else and take no responsibility. Well, I wonder why. And this is just a sad reality of the way society has been pushing it. Now, it may come because there was a push to fix an error that was made previously. Maybe men were doing a really lousy job, and maybe men were not really leading as they should have been leading. Maybe they were being overpowering, overbearing, not caring. Maybe they were doing all of that, and so women had to get under that, get out from under that, and so they overcorrected. Whatever it is, it's been overcorrected, and we need to be careful with where that leads.
It's true.
And so, men have to recognize the authority, the leadership that God has put you in. God has given you a family, you need to lead that family. It is your responsibility to lead them. When it comes to spiritual matters, you should lead them. You should guide them. You should be the one that gets interested and say, hey, let's study this. Let me show you this. I'm going to teach you this. I'm going to take charge in guiding you, both spiritually and physically. Teach them about all things. Teach them how to manage money. Teach them how to study. Teach them how to learn. Teach them how to read. Teach your children. You have that responsibility. You're a leader. You're a guide. This is important. In there's a few things that obviously our in our days it's not exactly the same anymore. But you notice in these times how the father would look for a spouse for the daughter, he would look for the spouse. And you know, today it's like, no, I get to choose. I can choose whoever I love, you know, and all that whenever it comes to getting married. I think if you're a young lady, right, Hannah, you're listening, right? You should seek your father's approval upon who you marry. Now, in the Bible, I think the father had the responsibility to actually seek out a good man for his daughter. And so I encourage all you fathers, do the best you can, try as hard to find your daughter a good husband. Because I think that's important. But daughters, why don't you want to listen to who your father has for you? Right? Why wouldn't a daughter want to listen to her father's opinion? Who cares about you? Your dad. Your father cares about you. He's probably one of the only men who doesn't look at you sexually like everybody else might.
Come on.
So you should care about his opinion. You should desire for him to seek after your well-being.
Amen. True. Amen.
You know, in Numbers chapter 30, it says that if a young lady makes a vow that the father, if he heard that vow, he can actually go negate it. He can say, no, that does not hold up. I don't approve. And it's no longer a vow that she has to keep. Because father, you have responsibility over your family.
Right.
You have headship. You have leadership. So just remember that. The care and protection of your family is under you. And you need to take that care and authority. And when it comes to church, this should be also visible. Men, you should desire to take leading participation and action, right? If women end up leading the church, and listen, if men are not doing the job, what do you expect women to do? Women should step up and do the job. That's just how it is. But it is a shame if that comes to that.
Yes.
If it comes to women having to step up because the men aren't doing it, then it's a shame because that's not the order God wanted it to be.
Right.
And so if men aren't taking any leadership, men aren't taking any interest, men aren't reading their Bible, getting knowledgeable about their Bible, men aren't caring about the will of God and striving and focusing and going to prayer and going with others, and men aren't taking any action, then what are we doing? We're doing wrong. And men need to wake up. Why are the women the ones that are always trying to, having to encourage the men? And no, it should be the other way around. The men should have a leading participation in the church. And in your family, you should be leading your family spiritually. This is the role of the man. It seems like women have just... So let's put it this way. Men are not in the leadership role because they are superior, not because they are in any way more intelligent, not because they have more understanding or that they do a better job. That's not the case. In fact, if you think about it, usually your wife has a lot more ability in a lot of things than you. Usually whenever you say, hey, where's your better half? You're talking to the husband about his wife. Hardly anybody goes to the wife and says, where's your better half? That just doesn't happen, right? So remember, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's about you taking up the responsibility that God has given you.
Amen.
And then women were casting off their symbol that represented that they were in this place under authority, and they were removing their covering, saying, I don't need a head in a sense. And you know, again, this is something that culture and society is probably going to tell you as a woman, this is how you should feel. You should not let a man think he's going to lead you. Again, go back. Don't look at what the world is saying. Don't care about what society is pushing on you. What does the Bible say? Because really, I'm telling you, the design that God has made is beautiful.
Amen.
If you allow it and you go by it and you live by it, it will flourish. It will bloom. And your marriage will be great, and your family will be great, and the church will be great. But it's going to take effort. It's going to take effort on both parts. Men, fulfill your part in responsibility. Women, you need to fulfill also your part. And it is not in any way showing weakness, right? You think, well, this is weak. I just have to be weak. No. In fact, voluntary submission is not a sign of weakness.
That's right.
And, you know, we all have to submit. Everybody should, and everybody has to submit.
Right.
And voluntary submission is not easy. It's hard to do. And we see Jesus actually doing it. And we are all impressed with Jesus and his sacrificial submission, his voluntary submission.
Amen.
To the will of the Father. And so for women to voluntarily sacrifice themselves and be willing to submit, boy, you should esteem that wife of yours, and honor her for being able to do that, because she's following somebody like you. That's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. So no, it's not weakness. And don't feel bad. Listen, sometimes we think, well, visibility equals value, but visibility does not equal value. And you think, well, since I don't have the role and the position where I'm in authority and everybody sees me and I'm recognized and I get all this visibility, if I don't have that, then I don't have value in the church. That's not true.
Amen.
That's not true. Think about just your body. And I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us this later on about how the members, not some of the members that you hardly even think about, are the most valuable ones. And it's true. Your hands, you look at them, you use them all the time, you probably praise them, you're probably so happy for your hands all the time. But how many times a day do you think about your pancreas? You hardly ever do. But if your pancreas has problems, or if your pancreas gives out, you're a goner.
Right.
If you lose your hands, you could still get by. But if you lose your pancreas, that's it. And you know, a lot of women in the church may not have the highest visibility and the highest reputation where they are and leadership and where everybody sees them and they're acknowledged and everything like that, but they might be the most indispensable people in the church.
Amen.
And one day God is going to give them the place they deserve.
Amen.
Those that are first might end up being last later on with visibility, and those that are last might one day end up being first. And so just because right now you're not in a place of visibility and high profile, all of that, don't worry about it. If God has given you a role to do, you focus on that role and do it to the best of your ability. As to Christ. And Christ will not ignore your labor. Not ignore your labor. But this has gotten conflicted within the church. Churches, it just doesn't, like I said, it doesn't seem right in our society that women would be seen this way, where they can't have a role of authority. You mean a woman can't be a pastor? Yes, that's exactly what we teach. That's exactly what the Bible says. You cannot hold that position of authority. That is put there by God for men to do. And that's just how it is. But if you can't do it, then stop fighting. Stop fighting over what you can do, and do what God has given you to do. I'm telling you, no matter what role you have, it's important, and you're going to have a hard enough time focusing on that role. You don't need to be worried about trying to do something else. God has given you something to do. Focus on it and do it, no matter what it is. So there's a few things that, I mean, we see that women and men will start fighting each other, and it really brings chaos in the church and even in society. And a lot of times we do things and we think we're doing the right thing, but it ends up hurting. I think, and I might be wrong on this, but you can tell me later what you think or not. There was a big push in, I don't know, the 60s, 50s, 60s. There's a big push for women and equality, and you know, they get to work. Why do we have to be just, you know, at home? We want to work the same way. And then it becomes this thing where women have the equal right and equal work, and we all make it all equal. And then all of a sudden you have women and men working, right? And so you have two people working, making income, and then all of a sudden everything automatically goes up, right? Because the houses have more income because there's two people working. And now we have where it's almost impossible for you to buy a house on a one person working income. And there's a lot of complaints about that. Well, my grandpa, he was able to buy a house and he was the only worker, and how can it be that price has gone up so much? Well, I think one of the problems was that there was such a push for women and men to work in the house that now you can't live without women and men working in the house. In other words, it's become it's added more pressure and more confusion in every area of life. And that's just a practical aspect of, I think, a real world scenario that we're living in. Women and men have to work now in a house, in a family. It's almost inevitable. Everybody has to work because the pressure and there's now confusion in roles and gender roles. And now you know how far that confusion is gonna go and has gone. It's gonna keep going. The confusion is everywhere. Now how can we say that's not gonna happen also in the church? If we ignore the different order that God has given for the different genders, male and female, we are different, and we cannot pretend like we are the same, it will bring chaos and confusion in the church also, where in the church we're supposed to have order. And so, we have to recognize God's design, and it is rooted in creation, and we should not allow these roles to be reversed, because it is a shame. And Paul uses the word shame. Paul talks about shame, and the truth is we want to shame those that are doing exactly what he says we shouldn't be doing, or should be doing, and we want to not shame those that are doing the opposite. So we have to, in the church, remember and recognize that God has given an order, a design, and he wants it to be fulfilled this way. It's not because one is more special than the other. Not at all. It's about functionality. God knows how to make things work properly. I mean, just look at life. Look at the world. Look at our cosmos. It works amazingly. But when we rebel against the way God has made things to work, things start breaking it apart. And so, in the church, men, you need to take a leadership role. You should. And there are some things that women just cannot do because of the role of leadership. Women cannot become pastors. I don't know why we have to make that clear, but the Bible does make that clear. You don't have that place of authority. And so, this is not a way to make you feel inferior. In fact, I think that the point is that women should be able to men and women have a complementary role. And women should complement the men and give him the opportunity to lead and be successful at it and do a great job. And men are not to stifle women and hold them down. No, they should also be strong enough to let their wives be strong and grow and also be very, very fruitful. And that brings two people that are very fruitful, fulfilling each other and growing and doing a lot of things. This is how it's supposed to work. It's not about battling each other. It's not about fighting each other. And, you know, I don't like what I'm having to do, and we fight each other. It's not about that. It's about both of us complementing each other and bringing us to new heights. That's the point of the way God has made the order. And we see this. Proverbs chapter 31, we see what a good woman looks like. And she is not held down by her husband in any way. He's not like intimidated by giving her some things, and not in any way. But if you're scared because you don't want your wife to succeed, it might be because you're afraid of having to you know, match her level. You need to be a strong leader so that your wife can be a strong wife. And you need to help your husband become a strong leader. And that, it has to do with both of us. Everybody is going to have to play in to allow us to get to that success that we need to get to. And so again, that's a very, very trying to be focused approach on what he's saying here and the ramifications that it has. Obviously, expand. And we would take a long time to talk about all of those. But I will open it up to any questions about this topic. Just to see if there's something I'm missing or confusing. Does anybody have a question?
Yes, sir. It's very cosmetic, Matt. the baseball caps and stuff like the church, is that anything? Not that we wear caps
right.
for the most part, but is that does that pertain to anything here?
So
as a cosmetic, I've been street preaching, and they were like, "Hey, don't wear your cap and don't wear glasses."
Right.
I understand the concept. I do it. Is there principle here?
So again, he's not teaching a law about how it should be done.
Okay.
It's not a law about what you can wear and what you can't wear. It was a symbolism at that time that did signify and show what God's order was. So today, there, you know, because of that, a lot of people hold it to where if you are using a cap, you might be not representing Christ well. And so if somebody might have that opinion or think that way, I won't wear a cap while I preach because I don't want them to think I'm dishonoring God or dishonoring Christ while I'm doing it.
Okay.
So because there are still people with that opinion and that understanding, I wouldn't do it for that purpose.
Okay.
But personally, I don't see that he's giving us a law that men can't do it at all. So that's how I take it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Okay. Well, then we'll be done with this hour, and we'll take a little break. Come back with the preaching hour next.